Now, friends, we come to the 144th Psalm, and this again is a Psalm of David, and it has in it things that make it very similar to the 18th Psalm. And you will recall that that was another great psalm that we emphasized when we were there. It was a Psalm of David in which he began, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock." And then he says in that psalm, "In my distress I called upon the Lord." And that was when he was delivered from the hand of King Saul. And obviously this was one of the experiences which this man had. It looks forward again to a day that's coming when his people will be in the great tribulation period. And it will be a time of great suffering and a time of great distress. And at that time, again, they will turn to God in prayer. And in between those two events, it certainly works for all the saints of God today. So let's come to it and let me begin reading. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." What does he mean by that? There are those, of course, that will jump at this and say, "My, look, God is a warlike God in the Old Testament." My friend, if you lived in David's day, then you would have been, I think, very comfortable to feel that you were protected from the enemies round about you, that you could defend yourself. And the Lord Jesus made it very clear, this idea today that he was a pacifist, that he was for peace, and he's the Prince of Peace, and there'll not be peace on this earth till he comes. He gives peace to the human heart today. He gives peace with God through the forgiveness of sin. But he also said, "A strong man armed keepeth his house." And that's what David is saying here. And in the great tribulation, they're going to need a little protection, by the way. And I'm not sure but what it's very comfortable to know that, or at least we're told today, that we have an arsenal that's filled with atom bombs. And I hope that we don't get some nut in power in this country that's going to throw them all away and talk like some fanatic that we can just depend on the goodness of human nature to take care of us. May I say that's brought many a nation down into the dust today, and many of them are in rubble because of that. Some of the Greek states tried that. They had a wonderful civilization, but it's in dust and ruins and rubble over there today because they couldn't protect themselves. Now, will you listen to verse 2? He says, "My goodness," speaking of God, that he's my goodness, and if you and I have any righteousness, it's Christ, "and my fortress," he's my protector, "my high tower, my deliverer." And friends, it's good to know that we have the arsenal of atom bombs. But I want to also make sure that God's my protector and that he's still my fortress and my high tower, my deliverer, and my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Now, it's David speaking. "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" Why take note of a little man? Man's not, very frankly, he doesn't amount to very much. Man is like the vanity. And that word actually means here, man's nothing. And without God, man is nothing. Life is purposeless today without God. A man came to me when I was pastor in Nashville. I was sitting in my study, and he just walked in. And he had an old rusty gun. It looked like a .45 to me. And he said to me, he says, "If you can't give me some reason why I shouldn't kill myself, I'm going to kill myself." And I said, "Well, you sure put me on the spot, because I can't think of any reason why you shouldn't. But I want to say this to you. You're not going to solve your problem by taking your life. All you're doing is you're going to remove your problems to a place where you can't get a solution because you will have fixed your eternal destiny. But I said, here and now, you can make a decision for God and add a little purpose to your life. And you won't be in such a big hurry to get out of this life. But you will know that when you do, you're going into the presence of the living God. May I say to you that life is quite empty. I have a clip in here of a man, I suppose he was a Swedish man, and he was the inheritor of a fortune that is said to be the largest fortune in the world, $5 billion. I don't know how much that is, but it's a whole lot of money. And that man took his life. Well, $5 billion didn't keep him here. And he found out life is rather purposeless. And friends, without Jesus Christ, without God, man's like vanity, emptiness, just no purpose at all. Now, listen to him as he pleads with God, verse 5. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. This is a great verse. Here we have a statement that Isaiah confirmed in Isaiah 64. He says, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. All for God to break in into human events, God to intrude again into human history. And he's going to do that someday. I don't want to take a fanatical position and say he's going to do it tomorrow or even this century. I don't know. But the fact is that he is going to intrude again into human history. Now he says, verse 6, cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Now when he comes again, he's coming in judgment. There's nothing wrong with this. The whole tenor of Scripture, including the New Testament, is that he's coming in judgment, and we have no more vivid and dramatic picture than you have in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, when John says he saw a door open in heaven and one on a white horse coming forth. He's coming forth conquering and to conquer, my friend. Now that is the picture that the Word of God presents. Maybe you don't like it, but it's in the Word of God. Now at that time he says, I'll sing a new song unto thee, O God, and that is the day, and the only day they'll be able to.